What is up, guys, and welcome back to the Cox Sports Podcast. I'm Jackson.
And I'm Carson.
Today, we are going to be switching back to the NBA. Make sure if you haven't checked out our last video, you do that. We did NFL quarterback rankings, top 10. We have a couple ideas in mind for future podcasts, like NFL draft, which is coming up this Thursday, as well as ACC football rankings. We want to do that with the addition of Ronnie Walker to UVA, big pickup for UVA. So figured it'd be necessary for us to go over what we think is going to happen in both the Coastal and Atlantic next year.
I played Ronnie Walker in high school. This man is no joke, guys. Please be on the lookout for that podcast.
He is a beast. He is a beast.
He's 275, four touchdowns on our head. Easy. I don't even think he played the second half either.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not saying much against Colonial Heights, but
yeah,
he is a beast, though. That is facts, and he's 804, born and raised, baby, so you got to represent. So today, we're going to be switching back to NBA. We're going to be doing the NBA 2021 player rankings for shooting guards and small forwards. We're going to be doing our tiers like we did last time with point guards. Carson, would you like to explain to the viewers how we did this?
Yeah, so this time, I'll start with the tiers. We kind of switched it up. We didn't do it based on, I guess, career achievements. We did it based on what we think of them right now. So the tiers we have today, instead of the Hall of Fame, the Superstar, All-Star tiers, we have our top tier as the Elite tier, our second top tier as the A tier, and then the B tier, the C tier, and all the way down to the D tier. Nobody in our pool made it to the F tier. And we also had four wild card players that we think are going to have breakout years next year. So how we did this is we had 27 players of a pool that me and Jackson both selected of the best shooting guards and small forwards in the NBA. So we chose to rank them accordingly, and that's what we're going to share with you guys today.
Yeah, so I think we're going to go ahead and get into it. We're going to start with the four breakout players for next year. My first one I have on the board is Nickeil Alexander-Walker for the New Orleans Pelicans. You know, he had a great summer league. He was first team all summer league, and he led the summer league in scoring with 24 points per game. He's been dealing with injuries lately, but I think that with the youth on the Pelicans, their ability to get young players to really play well for them, Brandon Ingram this year, obviously Zion, they have a good young core. And I think that as a shooting guard, that might be a position where they're kind of lacking, and he could really come in and play well, especially because they have some older guards. So I'd like to see if he'd be able to break into the starting five maybe next year. If he could stay healthy is really the only issue. He's had a hairline fracture on his wrist, and that he was going to be out for the rest of the season, I believe. He only got to play in a couple NBA games this season. He's been playing mostly G League, been doing a good job, and I think he has it in him to break into the Pelicans starting five and really be a big-time producer. You know, 24 points per game in the Summer League. And, you know, the Summer League is not just rookies. I mean, it's a lot of different players. You know, it can be second-year players, first-year, you know. So he was scoring against guys that have played in the NBA, and that for 24 points a game is no joke, and to make the All-Summer League team is really good considering the pool of players they have. So, yeah, that's my first one.
Yeah, I'll go ahead with my first one. I have Michael Porter Jr., small forward for the Nuggets. He was at 7.5 points, 3 rebounds, and 0.7 assists. A stat I found, he was shooting 42% from the three-point line. For a guy with that athleticism and how big he is, the Nuggets need a number three guy. Will Barton, he's had a great year this year, but going forward, I'm sorry, I just don't see him being that guy. Michael Porter, at 6'9", jumps through the gym, has defensive versatility, shooting 42% from three. He can get to the basket. He likes to play above the rim. I really think Michael Porter is the guy that could be this number three that the Nuggets need, just of what he can do on the offensive end and also going back to what he can do on the defensive end. I think all around, he's kind of the complete package. He was the number one recruit in his high school draft class. Like, this guy can play. So I really believe that Michael Porter Jr., if he gets the minutes that Mike Malone set up for him towards the beginning of the year, and then he had a setback with his injury, so he kind of lost those minutes. But if he gets back up to the, you know, 25 to 30 minutes per game range, I really think Michael Porter Jr. can be a big, big asset for the Nuggets going forward and be that number three guy and maybe, you know, push him over that edge of being mediocre in the playoffs and really make a big step for the Nuggets.
Yeah, I like Porter Jr. The three-point percentage is a good stat. I'm a little bit worried with that going forward if he can continue shooting at that high of a rate. That's a good rate to be shooting at for really any NBA player. No denying his athleticism. Man is a complete athlete, and he has a really good offensive game. And like you said as well, he's good on defense, and I think he fits what the Nuggets are trying to do really well. He's kind of similar to Will Barton a little bit in the way that he's kind of versatile. I think he'll be able to play. He could guard really one through three. really good size. So yeah, that's a good shot. I like Porter Jr.
I mean, if we're being real, like Will Barton's bounced around from team to team. So there's a reason he hasn't been a guy on a team, because he can't get it done. And I think Will Barton, I mean, he has had a good year this year, but going forward, I just don't think he's the answer. I really think Michael Porter, with the youth, and I mean, the factor of him staying healthy, of course, is the big question, but if he can do that, I think Michael Porter Jr. can be a fantastic player, and I think the Nuggets really got a steal with him in the draft 2 years ago.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know about all the Will Barton hate. I mean, considering how well the Nuggets have been playing this year, he's been having a good year. I don't necessarily think that it's like a Will Barton needs to go type situation as much as it is like they can just add depth to that team. If they can keep Porter Jr. and I guess it's both Porters, right? Yeah, Michael Porter, yeah. So, if they can keep both Porters healthy, then that would be huge for them as far as their versatility. I'm looking forward to seeing if he cracks into that starting five, what they're able to do whenever the season continues. And I think Will Barton can still play a big role in that. I'll move on to my second guy. Going with DeAndre Hunter from the Atlanta Hawks, UVA guy, so I had to give him a shout. But he's really had a decent season this year. He is a top five pick, so maybe not his production isn't as high as you would have liked. 12.3 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, 1.8 assists. I like his ability to grow with this young Hawks core with Collins and Young. I think he can be the third guy on that team. The East is not necessarily, it's kind of top heavy a little bit this year. When you get down into maybe like the 7 or 8 seed and below, it, you know, there are cracks in that, and I think that they could potentially do that next year and make a run at the playoffs, especially with Trae Young playing so well. He had such a breakout year. I think the more comfortable he gets in the NBA, the more he'll start showing his aggressiveness, which he kind of showed at UVA a little bit. He tends to be passive, which I can't stand, because he is a physical specimen. He has Kawhi-like body. I mean, he has a Kawhi body. Like, dude is strong and tall, and he's lengthy. So I like when he's aggressive, and I like when he's able to take people to the basket as opposed to just kind of, you know, settling for jump shots. So I'm really looking forward next year to seeing him grow more, and even in future years, him being able to expand his offensive game and really become a huge scoring threat. I'd like to see him jump next year to maybe 15 points per game. He's at 12.3 right now. I think that's not unrealistic for him, especially with, you know, Young and Collins, assuming they're both staying healthy. I think he can be the third guy for that team. So yeah, DeAndre Hunter is my second choice.
Yeah, I also had Hunter, but I'll move on to another man I had on my list. I had Rui Hachimura on my list. 13.5 points, 6 boards, about 2 assists per game. His big issue that I really didn't think was an issue going into the NBA was his three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. 27% from the three-point line. That is straight up pathetic. But, you know, with all the uncertainty that's going in Washington, if John Wall can take steps without tearing his Achilles, Bradley Beal wants to go join the championship team. I mean, I think Hachimura is really the only rock there that they have that they can rely on in the future, him and maybe Thomas Bryant. But I think, especially if, you know, John Wall's not maybe ready to go to start the season, if Bradley Beal wants to move on, I think Hachimura, I mean, they're just not going to have anybody else to pass the ball to. So I think Hachimura, with the most talent on that squad, of course, according to what happens, but I think Hachimura can absolutely have a breakout second year. He's athletic. He's great free throw shooter. He gets to the line. He can drive to the paint. He's a good defender. He's a good rebounder. He can play the 3 and 4 efficiently and effectively. So I really think Hachimura, especially with the kind of disaster that's happened with the Wizards, I think Hachimura is going to have a great year next year.
Yeah, I also had Hachimura on my list. I like his offensive game a lot. And like you said, if John Wall and Beal move on, or John Wall gets hurt again, I'm thinking Brad Beal is going to leave. Kind of time for him to move on.
I hope he does.
I do too. I'd like to see him join a contender. So with that being said, I think Hachimura is likely going to be the second option next year when Wall returns. I don't know if Wall's really going to go anywhere, because he's kind of at a point now where he's aging a little bit and his injuries are kind of a concern for him to go to a contender. If he could prove his health maybe in the next 1 or 2 years, he could maybe make that jump eventually. I'd like to see Hachimura increase his scoring next year. You know, 6 rebounds a game for him is good. I think he'll even get higher than that. Yeah, the three-point percentage is a bit of a concern. That was also a concern I had with DeAndre Hunter going into the NBA, was whether or not he was going to be able to shoot the three at a high clip. I think he's shooting it better than Hachimura, which, honestly, I would have probably given Hachimura the nod going out of college to shoot a better three-point clip. So for him, that's not a very good stat. But that being said, he's shooting so poorly from three and still averaging 13 points a game. He's working on the rest of his game, which I think is important. I think he can use his strength and his size to really be an impact player on in the mid-range and, you know, driving to the cup. So, yeah, I also had Hachimura on my list. Finally, my last player, I had Sekou Doumbouya for the Detroit Pistons. A lot of you may not know who this is. He was drafted, I think he's from France, correct? Yeah, so he averaged 17.4 points per game in the G League this year. He had started off there early on in the season and then had moved on to the NBA. He had gotten called up by the Pistons, averaging 6 points a game for the Pistons. His length and athletic ability was one of the best in the draft, in my opinion. He is a big physical guy, but his athleticism is almost unmatched in this draft class, besides, like, obviously Zion. That dunk he had on Tristan Thompson is an absolute poster.
Disrespectful.
If you guys haven't seen that, look up Sekou Doumbouya poster on Tristan Thompson. Like, Tristan Thompson absolutely got destroyed. Sekou caught a body right there. He's been one of the few bright spots for the Pistons. They've really been going through it the past couple years. That Blake Griffin trade did not really work out to their liking, I don't think. He's just not been able to stay on the court. I think Doumbouya is going to get more minutes as he progresses, and I just like his projection overall. So look out for him, especially if the Pistons could potentially, you know, if they get rid of some of their veteran guys, already got rid of Drummond, so on. So, yeah, no, I like Doumbouya moving forward.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and put in there. He kind of gives me Gershon Yabusele vibes.
Oh, my God.
From what we were told about Gershon Yabusele, did not translate to the court whatsoever. So I'm going to see – I need a little bit bigger sample size out of Doumbouya, but, I mean, as far as I can see, I just see him being Gershon Yabusele.
That is one of the most unfair comparisons, like, ever. I would never compare my worst enemy to Gershon Yabusele, one of the worst players to step on an NBA floor. Like, dude is – the dancing bear was his nickname, and man's dance. He did dance, though. He's a good dancer.
I want to say, when he did the, you know, pull the – bow and arrow out the backpack and shot it. Always lit.
He did some dabs. Yeah. He had like seven career threes. He had a dab after every one.
So he's a great team guy. So, I mean, I don't know.
I think more what you're doing here is because Gershon is also from France, I think you are comparing him to Doumbouya, which is completely unfair. I think Doumbouya, like you said, I need a bigger sample size to really consider him, but I think he's going to be better than Gershon Yabusele.
Dude,
I can guarantee that.
Gershon Yabusele low-key caught bodies, okay? I just want that to be known.
He's one of the worst players I've seen, no doubt. We need to move on from that. That is a conversation I do not want to have.
All right, moving on to our D tiers. I'll go ahead with my first guy that I had in my D tier is Andrew Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins, 21.8 points. This is, of course, with Minnesota and his time with the Warriors combined, with 5.1 rebounds and 3.7 assists. The only reason I really have him in my D tier and not higher, he's actually had a decent year, but Curry and Clay are coming back next year, and I haven't really seen Andrew Wiggins play with shot limitations like he's going to have to do next year. You know, he's always been the, you know, main number two or the number one on the Warriors this year. So I think with him not being an efficient player to begin with, I think when he's going to have to, you know, only take a certain amount of shots, I think he's going to struggle in that department. And, you know, everybody's saying, oh, Wiggins is going to be that Harrison Barnes. I just don't know if Wiggins – of course, if he can adapt to the role, I'm all here for it. But I just don't see that from a, you know, a still quite young Andrew Wiggins and a guy that can go get a bucket. But when he's faced with those limitations like he will be with Curry and Clay, he's going to take a major dip in his game. At least I think so.
Yeah, I disagree a little bit on that. I had Wiggins in my C tier. You know, 28 points per game this year, obviously, combined Minnesota and Golden State, who have both had their struggles this year. But I like his projection with Curry and Clay coming back. I think that he can fill that role. I think he will see a decrease in his production. And like you said, will he be able to accept that? He's going to have to. And I think he knows maybe, like, this is my chance to make a run in the playoffs and, you know, prove my worth. He's never – I mean, has he ever been in the playoffs? Has he ever been able to play in the playoffs?
Yeah, they did make it with Jimmy Butler that one year.
Okay, yeah.
But they got swept.
I mean, he hasn't really gotten a chance to prove that, you know, he can make it in clutch time. I'd like to see him be that third option for the Warriors. And I think next year is his best opportunity to potentially make a run at a championship. He could be a huge X factor for that team. So, yeah – I'm not a huge Wiggins fan, but he's been doing it for long enough at a pretty high rate that I think that if he can just be okay with less touches, less shots, and become a more productive player as far as rebounds and assists go, defense, great athlete. So he could really try to channel that athleticism into defense potentially and really be a good player for the Warriors. So yeah, I had him in my C, but I can understand. It's kind of a kind of a double-edged sword, whether or not you think he's going to be good on the Warriors or not. It is kind of up in the air. My first D I had was Danilo Gallinari. Having a good year this year by no means, by all means, he's having a good year, 19.2 points per game, 5.5 rebounds, 2.1 assists. I'm not a huge Gallinari guy because he's bounced around so much in his career. I just don't really think he's going to really ever move up my rankings because he's been on four teams already in his career and no more than 3 years apiece or 4 years apiece on those teams. He's having a good year for the Nuggets, but like you had said before, how long is he going to get these type of minutes with Porter Jr. potentially coming back? That could be a huge addition, and that could take away minutes from him. He is a good player, there's no doubt about it, but I just don't really see him going up as opposed to just kind of staying in my D tier. By no means is he a bad player, and D isn't a negative connotation on these players, but at the same time, I'm not seeing him making a jump up to my C tier and being compared with even Andrew Wiggins, to be honest with you. So, yeah, I have Danilo Gallinari in my D.
Just on Gallinari a little bit, you know, the Thunder, what they've done this year is great, but, you know, they're kind of guard heavy.
My fault, the Thunder, my fault. I said Nuggets.
They're kind of guard heavy, yeah. So, you know, how long are they going to stay with Schroeder, Shai Gilgeous, right, and CP3? So I think with maybe one or two of them leaving, maybe to join a, you know, championship contender, because right, the Thunder are good, but obviously not in that championship, you know, caliber or range. Mm-hmm. I think Gallinari with Shai Gilgeous, I'm assuming they're going to keep. I think he can be that rock. They were great together last year on that Clippers team that got two games on the Warriors in the playoffs. I had Gallinari in my C tier just because I think he has the better chance of staying and being a big contributing factor to the Thunder, because I think CP3, Schroeder probably have a better chance of leaving compared to Gallinari. So that's why I just had him in my C tier, solely because I think he can still thrive. With Shai by his side, I think they can be a good little rebuilding type of core for the Thunder going forward.
Fair point. Yeah, you can go ahead with your next person on D.
My next person in my D tier is Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield, 19.8 points, 4.8 rebounds, and 3 assists. He's down in field goal percentage and his three-point percentage by 3%, which is not good for this guy who's in his prime of his career. And also Sacramento as a whole. I mean, with their draft picks that they've accumulated with Marvin Bagley and Hield and De'Aaron Fox, I mean, there's just not really a whole lot of certainty there. With Marvin Bagley, you know, we all thought he was going to be the guy. And, I mean, DeAndre Ayton went first. He had the right to, but, I mean, Marvin Bagley was right up there. And it's clear right now that Ayton is head over heels better than Bagley. And, I mean, Bagley's been hurt, but even when Bagley's been on the court, he's not been that guy that we thought he was going to be. So are they going to move on from him? We don't know. There's just a lot going on with their management. They don't really know what they want to do. Are they rebuilding? Are they going to keep this core and try to move forward? Or are they just going to, you know, disband and try to build around De'Aaron Fox? Because he seems to be the only real rock right now for the Kings. And Buddy Hield, unfortunately, kind of falls in that, you know, unknown category. Like, what are they going to do with him? And, I mean, with his field goal percentages and his three-point percentage going down, and with the amount of shots that he takes, he's not an efficient shooter. He is second in the league in three-pointers made, but I don't know. I just don't see Buddy being a guy for the Kings that can, as far as long-term goes, I don't see him being that guy. And if he wants to move to a championship contender, he's definitely not going to keep up the 20 points per game. His stats are definitely going to go down with limitations in his shots. So I have Buddy Hield in my D tier just because of the uncertainty in Sacramento. And if he does want to move on, I just don't think he'll get the same kind of production and have the same, you know, stat line that he's had with Sacramento, as we've seen.
Yeah, I also had Hield in my D tier. I am a little bit worried about the Kings' direction, too. I like De'Aaron Fox a lot, and I think that that'd be someone to build around. The problem is Buddy Hield takes such a high volume of shots that he really, I think, can only be effective on a team that doesn't have stars. If he did end up moving to a team that had a 1-2 punch already and he was their third guy, I would worry about his ability to become an efficient shooter. And without the volume of shots, he takes a lot of shots and he quite unfortunately misses a lot of shots. Does average 20 points per game, like Carson said, which is a good stat, but that's on a Kings team that does not have a second option. He is their second option when Fox is hurt. Fox has been hurt a little bit this year, but I am a little bit worried about his projection going forward, and just the Kings in general do worry me. So we'll see if he stays on the Kings. I believe he can continue to put up these numbers, not efficiently, but will they ever be able to take the next step and actually become a playoff team is kind of yet to be seen. So, yeah, I had Buddy Hield in my
And it's so upsetting with Buddy Hield. I just had great hopes for him out of Oklahoma. I absolutely adored him at Oklahoma. He was such a good player. I thought his game was going to really translate pretty well into the NBA. And, you know, not saying it completely hasn't, but just not in the way that I think a lot of people, including myself, expected. So, unfortunately, Buddy, you're in my D tier.
Yeah, the three-point percentage and field goal percentage going down from last year.
Very concerning.
Yeah, that's a little concerning. I think he's just kind of forcing shots at this point, but yeah.
Three-point champion, though, so shout out to Buddy for that. Only highlight so far. So.
Yeah, true, when he's unguarded, but
true.
yeah, so last person in my D tier, I have Kelly Oubre Jr. Having a good year, honestly a breakout year this year. 18.7 points per game, 6.4 assists, 6.4 rebounds, 1.5 assists. The only verdict I kind of have on Oubre is he plays on a Suns team that is always hurt. They always have players that are hurt, whether it's Booker or Ayton, which are their top two guys. Those guys have missed a lot of time this year, Ayton with a suspension, but still games that have been missed. And Booker seems like he can never stay healthy, which is a shame. I'm a little bit concerned about Oubre, whether or not he'll be able to make that jump to maybe 20 points per game and being a 20 point per game scorer for years to come. That kind of I need to kind of see that for him to maybe get up into my C tier. Also, the Suns as a whole have a kind of a confusing path as an organization. I don't really know where they're going to go because I like Ayton and I like Booker, but Booker can't stay on the floor, and a center as your best player has just been proven that that's just not – that doesn't work. We've seen AD and Cousins try to do it in New Orleans. That in this league, your best player has to be able to shoot threes. He has to be a good three-point shooter, and he has to score at a high volume. Not that Ayton can't do that, but, threes are higher than twos, straight up. So that's the problem I see with the Suns. Oubre, not a great shooter, is having a good year, though, nonetheless. Great, insane athleticism. That dunk on Paul George this year was absolutely insane.
He's actually surprisingly caught a lot of bodies. Yeah. I didn't really think Oubre was like that, but that boy is like that. He dunks on people.
Has made a huge jump from when he was in Washington. He was a role player, just kind of minuscule. The only notable thing was that feud with
Kelly Olynyk. I hated Oubre in Washington.
Yeah, quick story. I had a man bun, actually. We went to go see the Celtics Wizards in the playoffs. What was it,
2016.
Yeah, So anyway, that Oubre Olynyk incident had just happened, and I was wearing a Celtics jersey and my man bun, obviously looking a lot like Kelly Olynyk, and I was getting some hate from people in Washington. They were calling me out on the streets, and they were like, "Is that Olynyk? Get him!" So yeah, that stuff was kind of was a little bit chippy there. So I always kind of not really like Oubre for that because he was bringing harm upon myself. But Kelly Oubre, round out my D tier. What about you?
I have one person that I think he's in your C tier, but he makes the D tier for me, and that's Lou Williams. Lou Williams, 18.7 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists. The big thing with me on Lou Williams and why I have him in my D tier is PG and Kawhi. I think over the course of time, his production is just going to, especially with age, his production is going to go down. And I think Paul George, we haven't even seen, his production be what I think it should be. He's only averaging 21 points per game. And I think in the future, that's definitely going to go up. And then Kawhi's always going to get his. And they have, Marcus Morris. They have Montrezl Harrell, who's an emerging star. They just have a lot of people that are going to get shots. And I don't know if Lou Williams is going to be able to fit in with those guys, especially with his age. And, he's down about 3 points than he was last year. Lou Williams, he's going to be a great role player at his age. But as far as, being in the 20 points per game, I just don't see that from Lou, especially going into next year. I only see his stats going down. So that's why Lou Williams makes the D tier for me.
I had Lou in my C tier because of how long he has been balling for. Man's deserves some respect. D tier was just not really fitting it for me. Yeah, his points are decreasing. He's at 18.7, which is a good clip. I agree with the role of Paul George increasing next year, assuming no injuries. He will probably see some decrease in production, but he is going to be such a threat on that Clippers team. Him and Montrezl Harrell are what make that Clippers team such a good unit and arguably the best team when healthy in the NBA overall. I like Lou moving forward with this Clippers team. Obviously, I don't know if we're going to be able to see the playoffs this year, but next year, if PG is healthy completely, they might not rest Kawhi as much because of this long layoff. I could really see that Clippers team being a huge threat in the West, maybe even having a better start than they did this year and, really being with the Lakers as far as record-wise goes. But yeah, no, I had Lou in my C tier because I think he deserves respect, and the D tier is just the D tier is just a little bit too low for me. So yeah, I had Lou in my C. All
right, moving on to the start of our C tiers now.
Right.
All right, so the start of my C tier, I had Gallinari. Already kind of addressed him. I think he's going to be him and Shai Gilgeous. I think they can be rocks there at OKC, so that's why I have him with these guys. So with Kelly Oubre, you talked about him. I kind of just want to elaborate on Kelly Oubre. Devin Booker, I think, is a guy that definitely could consider leaving and going to a championship team. You know, kind of tired of wasting years in Phoenix. And I think if he leaves, I think Kelly Oubre is definitely their number two scoring guy behind Ayton. But as far as guards and forwards go, I think Oubre is going to get a lot more shots. He's already at 18.7 points with Booker. I think going into next year and years to come, I think with the emergence of Oubre this year, especially with, you know, a guy that takes so many shots in Booker, I really think Oubre's points per game production can really get up into the low 20s, mid 20s for him. So that's why I had him in my C tier. But, I mean, of course, Devin Booker staying, it's kind of hard to tell where Oubre's going to land, but I think Devin Booker's tired of wasting years in Phoenix. I think he's going to move on. So that's why I had Oubre in my C tier.
Yeah, my first person in my C tier. Yeah, I had Lou Williams in there, who I've already touched on, and then Wiggins. Another person, this is controversial probably. I'm going to start off with a controversial C. I had Jaylen Brown. Now, Jaylen Brown in my C tier, 20 points per game, 6.4 rebounds, 2.2 assists. He made the jump into 20 points per game this year, which is a good jump for him. I like his progression. Obviously, we know that Tatum was kind of the story this year as far as the jump. He kind of flew under the radar, but he deserves to be acknowledged because he is improving. His offensive game has turned into a place where he can kind of one-on-one make jump shots over people, which I didn't know if I really saw that when we drafted him. I just saw a really good athlete, kind of like Oubre, like just a freak athlete who was going to be able to finish well around the rim, but his jump, his mid-range and three-point production has gone up, and I mean, he's a great player. The only thing for me is, the Celtics as a unit, it's so hard to say who is going to make the jump and who is going to be the guy, because the problem is, Jason Tatum has now moved into he is one of the best young players in the league, and he has shown that this year, averaging almost 24 points a game. So he's made that jump up way up high where we thought, will Jaylen Brown do the same, and will the Celtics team allow him to get the type of, you know, or will he have the chances to do that? You know, so many good players on that team, and a lot of shots have to go around. Tatum's shots will increase next year, no doubt about it. Kemba Walker, it's yet to be seen whether or not he is going to, you know, give us the Charlotte Kemba or kind of like take a backseat to Tatum. Gordon Hayward, that's another one we'll talk about later. So they have, you know, four guys with Jaylen that all, you know, kind of deserve and need shots. So I'm kind of concerned about if he will be able to make the jump to maybe 23 points a game, 24 points a game, like Tatum has been able to do. I just don't know if he'll be able to do that. And a lot of the guys that are in my B tier are already at above 20 and are showing signs that they will probably increase. So for that reason, I had to put Jaylen in my C tier. I love Jaylen Brown, one of my favorite players on the Celtics. But unfortunately, when you listen to the guys in my B tier, I think that Jaylen belongs in the C.
Shaking my head. You call yourself a Celtics fan?
They're just calling it like it is, man.
I had Jaylen in my E tier, man.
Shut up. I'm lying.
No, I had Jaylen in my B tier, but we'll talk about him later. Continuing with my C tier, I had Bojan Bogdanović. That boy in Utah is a bad man. Do not sleep on Bojan. He's at 20 points per game, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, shooting 41% from 3. He had a great season last year in Indiana, almost beat LeBron in the first round. Unfortunately, the King was just too much. But with this stuff going around with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, who knows how long Spy Dad might stay in Utah. So if that's the case, if Spy Dad leaves, Rudy Gobert is not a great offensive player. I think Bojan absolutely steps into that number one role, barring, you know, a signing, but who wants to go to Utah? So I think Boyan's going to be that guy. He's a great shooter, surprisingly gets the basket. He gets to the free throw line. He's already at 20 points per game with a great score in Donovan Mitchell. I think going forward with the Jazz, him, Rudy Gobert being the defensive anchor, Mike Conley being that ball facilitator, I think Bojan can absolutely get up there into the 23 points per range. So this, of course, barring on the situation with Gobert and Mitchell, nobody really knows what's going on with that, how serious it is. But if Spy Dad's going to leave, I mean, Bojan's already doing great. So if Donovan Mitchell wants to leave, I think Bojan can absolutely step in to that elite scoring role that the Jazz need. So I have Bojan in my C tier.
I also have him in my C tier. I'm a big fan of his, and I think I agree something is going to happen with that Jazz situation, and I think it actually will probably only help him because it will eliminate a person that takes a decent amount of shots. Gobert, not as many shots, but still, I mean, that, you know, he will probably get some of those shots and potentially, you know, raise his scoring, which, you know, he's already at above 20, which is really impressive for me. And I think, yeah, projecting forward, I could definitely see him being with the Jazz for maybe, you know, the rest of his career potentially, and just becoming from a starter maybe to a role player as he gets older, but still being able to knock down shots, which is his best
outcome. And it's so surprising. The only reason I say Donovan Mitchell leaving is because the reports I've seen is that the Jazz would rather trade Donovan Mitchell than Rudy Gobert. Personally, I don't know about that. I mean,
Couldn't disagree more on that.
He can defend the rim, but, I mean, you can go find seven-footers anywhere. I think Donovan Mitchell is much more valuable, but based on the reports, if they do happen to move Mitchell, Bojan will step up into that number one role, and so definitely see his points per game going up.
Yeah, bro, this isn't the 1970s and 80s. Like, if you're a big man and you can't shoot, I'm sorry, I'm not building a franchise around you. Yep, for that reason, I don't know what they're thinking.
And for that reason, I'm out.
All right, moving on. Let's see, my next guy. So I have Malcolm Brogdon in my C tier. 16 points per game this year, 4.7 rebounds, 7.1 assists, really good number. I like Brogdon a lot. He's shown this year that he can run a team. He ran that Pacers team at the beginning of this year with Oladipo out. My concern about Brogdon is what will his role be when Oladipo returns to full health? I think that's what everybody's kind of wondering is, will he be able to continue this type of production, or will he kind of fade back into where he was at the Bucks, where he was maybe around 12 or 13 points? I think he can continue this type of production because he's a selfless player. His assist numbers are up. 7.1 assists is a really good number, and I think with Oladipo coming back, that number might even increase. He might see himself being in a position where he's able to dime a little bit more with Oladipo, probably taking the bulk of the shots. So I had Brogdon in my C tier. I'm a big Brogdon fan, of course, UVA guy, so I really only want the best for him, and he's just such an efficient player. A lot of the guys in the NBA really aren't like Brogdon. He's just so well-rounded, and being at Virginia, his defense was able to take a front seat in college. He was a great offensive player, but he was able to learn defensive fundamentals, and he really embodies them in the NBA still, too. He's a great, great defensive player, and he's showing his passing ability this year with 7.1 assists. So, yeah, I project that he's going to have a pretty good year, even with Oladipo healthy next year, so I have Brogdon in my seat.
Yeah, not only with just how is he going to be able to fit in with Oladipo coming back, but with the emergence of Domantas Sabonis. I mean, Domantas Sabonis is a very selfless player, but, I mean, he's going to get his buckets, averaging 18 and 12. I mean, Sabonis, I mean, he was the all-star of the Pacers this year, so he was the guy for them. So having, you know, Victor Oladipo, who was an all-star with the Pacers 2 years ago, and Brogdon, who was a borderline all-star this year, combining all of that with an already all-star with a questionable coach who I'm not a fan of, Nate McMillan, I'm sorry, but it's just going to be hard for all of them to coexist with each other, with, you know, Sabonis arguably going up into the man role while Oladipo was hurt. So I completely agree with you. I had Brogdon in my C tier. It's going to be very interesting how McMillan rallies those guys together and gets them to play well.
I agree 100%. The only concern I have, though, with that is that Oladipo and Brogdon play similar positions. So with that being said, will Brogdon be okay with not handling the ball all the time? Maybe they convert Brogdon to their main point guard and let Oladipo be the shooting guard. But, you know, in late-game situations last year, Oladipo was all over in ISO. In late-game situations, he was the guy. Will they have a struggle there because Brogdon has kind of shown this year that he can be the guy late in games? He's hit a couple late buckets for them in games that have won it for them. So going forward, it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic works.
Another guy in my C tier, unfortunately, Gordon Hayward, 17.3 points per game, 6.5 rebounds, 4.1 assists. Gordon Hayward, unfortunately, is just kind of the odd man out when it comes to Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum for me. You know, he's great with having shot limitations, but compared to the guys that I have in my B class, he just really doesn't fit in there. He's a great, great third guy to have on your team. He can facilitate the basketball. He's a good rebounder. He's gotten better on defense, still kind of shaky there. He has a great mid-range game, God. And then, I mean, he can shoot the catch-and-shoot three-pointers. You know, talk about a guy that I'd love the Warriors to have at that number three spot is Gordon Hayward. Oh, my goodness. I mean, he's already shown how well he does with not having the ball, making cuts, catching, you know, three-pointers in the corner, knocking them down. I mean, if you leave this guy open, he will make you pay. And he's really had a good year this year. He was doing great, and then he broke his hand on a freak accident with LaMarcus Aldridge. He came back, and unfortunately, the emergence of Jason Tatum kind of held his overall game a little bit down as it was at the beginning of the year. But yeah, Gordon Hayward also with the player option coming up, where is he going to go? Is he going to go try and jump on a championship team? Is he going to be willing to take less money, come back with the Celtics? I don't know. It's just compared to the guys I have in my B tier, Gordon Hayward unfortunately just doesn't make the mark. So I had to put him down in my C tier. But of course, all high praise for Gordon Hayward. Love that guy.
Bro, you're really going to call me, you're going to say, oh, you call yourself a Celtics fan, but you have Gordon Hayward in your C tier. I also have him in my C tier, but...
Dude, you have two Celtics in your C tier, bro.
Hey, bro, but that doesn't mean it. I mean, I'm just saying, bro, you're trying to make fun of me, and you also have a Celtic
dude,
in your C tier.
Gordon Hayward is a reasonable C tier player.
Agree, I put him in the C tier, I'm just saying. Anyways, like Carson is saying, that player option is kind of something that I'm looking at. Will he stay in Boston? Like you said, he definitely is the odd man out. Between Jalen, Kemba, and Jason, those are the top three. Gordon kind of floats around. Sometimes he'll turn into the two guy. All of a sudden, he'll like have a sick game, you know, a couple like a stretch in a week where he'll play well. But overall, he has been a little bit of a disappointment. Obviously, the ankle injury was unforeseen and I think has hindered him. I think he's just kind of, before COVID-19, I think he was really getting into where you saw him at it with the Jazz. He was really starting to play a lot better. Still makes the C tier for me. I think he could move up if he leaves. I don't see him going up to the B tier even if he stays with Boston. I think the only way he could get up is if he leaves, and I just don't know if he will with his connections with Brad Stevens. I think he likes playing for the Celtics. He makes a lot of money, and quite frankly, doesn't have a huge role. Like, I mean, he has a decent role, but I mean, he kind of doesn't have the toughest job for having such a big contract. So I don't think he dislikes being with the Celtics by any means.
Yeah, another kicker with him is the inconsistency sometimes, especially in big games. He always tends to kind of disappear, which, of course, as a Celtics fan, bothers me very much. Yeah. But, I mean, he's a guy, he fills up minutes in those regular season games. And, you know, he's not necessarily, I don't know if it's just because of his role, but he's not necessarily the big game guy that, you know, at least I hoped that he was going to be in Boston. But, you know, he's a great guy. He's a great basketball player. And I hope nothing but the best for young Gordon Hayward.
Yeah, but you put him in your C tier.
So love you.
Moving on, my final guy in my C tier is Victor Oladipo.
Me too.
I had Victor 13.8 points per game, 3.2 rebounds, and 3 assists in only 13 games. He's coming back from an injury. I'm a little bit worried about Victor because he is such a good athlete, whether or not that ACL injury is going to maybe derail a little bit of his athleticism come next year. I think he may be able to gain it back over time, but as you can see with a lot of guys that have that type of injury, it takes you a minute to kind of get back into things. He's going to be a little bit hesitant as far as being able to, you know, drive to the basket and explode. He had turned into a really good shooter, though, the year before, and he had really completed his offensive game. I am just a little bit worried about him going forward, whether or not he's going to get back to that, to that high of a mark, kind of similar to where Gordon Hayward was at before the ankle injury. Will it take him a while to get back to that form? I think so, especially with Brogdon having such a good year and Brogdon, you know, being never really missing games. So with that being said, I had Oladipo in my C tier. I really hope he gets back to playing really good basketball again. I loved watching him play for the Pacers last year. He was so good. But I had to put him in my C tier.
I don't know, dude. I think that knee might be okay. He looked pretty darn good on The Masked Singer, if you ask me. He was moving and singing around. So I think if you can do that, I think you can play a little bit of ball. So, he unfortunately makes my C tier. Love Oladipo. Obviously, great voice. Check him out. He was on The Masked Singer a couple seasons ago. But, yeah, returning to that form, especially with the rise of Brogdon and Simmons, it's going to be tough for him to get back to that all-star form. So I had him in my C tier as well.
Anybody else we got in our Cs? Have we missed anybody?
I had Brogdon, but you already kind of covered him. So, yeah, I think we're good to move on to B.
Moving on to B, you can go
ahead. My B tier, Jaylen Brown, fellow Celtic. Right. Jaylen Brown, 20 points per game, 6.4 rebounds, 2.2 assists. I mean, honestly, you could have very well made a case for this guy being an all-star this year. I think, you know, Kemba, Gordon, Brad, I think they all kind of see that Jalen and Jason are that 1-2 punch. And I think having two forwards of that explosiveness and guys that are ability to put the ball in the basket is so rare to have on the same team. So, I mean, Kemba, it's going to be hard with him. He's kind of the X factor with Jaylen Brown's progress. whether Kemba is really going to take that back seat to being the number three guy behind Jaylen. But Jaylen, you can just tell his overall game has improved. His three-point shooting's improved. Obviously, his points per game has improved. He's a great rebounder. He goes up and gets it. His handle is one thing that's really surprised me. His ability to get by defenders and get to the basket. It was never a question whether he could finish at the rim, but getting to the rim was kind of an issue. But he has absolutely done a great job in improving his ability to get off shots at will and getting to the basket, finishing over guys, around guys. Of course, he can step back and shoot threes. He's great on the defensive end. I really think Jaylen Brown is going to take a big step next year with Jason Tatum. Them together are going to be that great 1-2 punch tandem, both being forwards. And I think Jaylen Brown, he was a borderline all-star this year. He definitely makes the all-star team for me next year.
Wow, huge shout. Huge shout there. Yeah, yeah. He was borderline C or B for me. I don't really disagree with you if you put him in B. I mean, he has shown a lot of improvement this year. I just couldn't put him in there as of right now. My first guy in the B tier is DeMar DeRozan of the San Antonio Spurs. I'm averaging 22 points per game, 5.6 rebounds, 5.6 assists. As we all know, he was kind of the odd man out in the Raptors when Kawhi showed up. They kind of chose, they chose Lowry over him and kind of were just like, send him on his way. The Spurs have kind of been mediocre since he's gotten there. They made the playoffs last year, but this year they were 27 and 36, having a tough season. I mean, I'm kind of wondering for DeMar, is he just going to kind of get lost in, you know, mediocrity as far as his team goes? The Spurs are one of those, kind of turning into a little bit like a lost dynasty. They've moved on from all their core guys that they used to have when they were winning championships. They still have Popovich, but he's getting older. I don't know how much longer he'll be around. They have LaMarcus Aldridge, who seems like he kind of wants to stay there for the rest of his career, but it's like, you know, do you want to be with LaMarcus Aldridge? They need another guy if they're going to really make a run in the West. The West is way too top-heavy for them to even really crack into like the top five or six. I just don't see that team moving forward really making much of an impact in the playoffs, so... I like DeMar a lot. He's a good individual player, but the problem is I just don't know if he'll ever be able to make it up to the A tier just because I think this is probably his cap as far as production goes. 22-5-5 is about where he should be at, and I think he'll probably be at for the rest of his career and then probably go down, obviously, as he gets older. I don't see him getting up to 25 points a game, so yeah, I have DeMar in my B tier.
Yeah, I have DeMar in my B tier. Really, the only reason I put him in my B tier is because he's better than the guys I had in my C tier. And he kind of fits with the guys that I have in my B tier, but he's still a good scorer. Talk about probably the least talked about star in the NBA. If you go on SportsCenter, Twitter, you will never see a DeMar DeRozan debate or anybody talking about DeMar DeRozan or LaMarcus Aldridge or the Spurs in general. I mean, they are just so under the radar at this point. It used to be fine when they're good, but they're not good anymore. So, you know, there's a question there for DeRozan whether or not he's going to stay. But, yeah, I mean, as of right now and going forward with the Spurs, he's in my B tier. But, I mean, you could make the argument Jaylen Brown is right up
there.
That's
fair. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, yeah, you honestly, this is probably one of the first players we've come across that I could probably, like, demote next year potentially to the C tier. But, yeah, no, DeMar does stay in my B tier just because of his production this year.
And, you know, it's interesting with the Raptors how they chose to get rid of DeRozan. Everybody was like, oh, my gosh, how could they do this? But... you know, they made the wrong decision at the time. It led them to a championship. Kind of goes the same way with the Jazz. They might make the wrong decision in trading Donovan Mitchell, but, you know, maybe it leads to more success for the Jazz.
Opens up a free agency acquisition. Absolutely. I don't know who wants to go to Utah. But
combined with the boy Bojan Bogdanovic, going to tear it up in the Western Conference.
Who's your next guy?
Moving on to another guy in my B tier, I had Klay Thompson. Now, Klay Thompson... mm-hmm. Would have been in my A tier had he not gotten hurt. The only reason he is in my B tier, I mean, the ACL is no joke. And, you know, you need your knees to shoot the basketball. Of course, I think he's going to have a good year next year, but just that question mark with the ACL, really the main point of why I had him in my B tier. I think him and Steph are pretty much going to return to OG Splash Bros, but just because of the ACL, you never know with those. You never know. So I just had to put him in my B tier just for that reason.
I disagree. I had him in my A tier. Klay is debatably, I mean, he's a top five shooter in the league. No doubt about it. Next year, obviously looking forward, you're kind of wondering where the Warriors are going to be at with this completely almost new roster as opposed to this year. You know, they're going to be adding so many pieces with that draft pick too. That being said, he's going to be the second scoring option on that team. Whether or not he's ready to resume that role kind of where the 2016 Warriors were at before they got KD, will be interesting to see if he's ready to get that, the shooting load back again with those high volume of shots. He's going to be asked to score. You know, I mean, he's going to be up in the 24, 25 points a game. That's what he's going to be asked to do. Whether or not he achieves that with his health still in question a little bit, just yet to be seen. I have him in my A tier because of his ability to score the basketball. He is one of the best scorers in the game. When he is on, he can do amazing things, as we've seen with that third quarter he had. What was that, like 2 years ago? Where he dropped
37 points. Ridiculous. On what, like 9 or 11 dribbles?
He never even dribbles either, like always just takes jumpers. So, man, is just a bona fide scorer. I have him in my A tier because I think the Warriors are going to be a great team next year, and I think he's going to be one of the main reasons why.
Yeah, literally the ACL is the only reason. If that had never happened, I'd have my A tier, no doubt.
Yeah. So moving on, in my B tier, I have Brandon Ingram, 24 points per game, 6.3 rebounds, 4.3 assists, having an absolute breakout year. I mean, him and Jason Tatum this year are the two guys that are just really coming up as far as young small forwards go. But, you know, I guess the question with Ingram is, when Zion, presuming Zion is going to be healthy next year and he plays over 19 games, plays into the 50s or 60s potentially, will he be able to score 24 points a game? The answer for me, no. I think he'll probably go down to about 20 points per game, maybe even below that. It is a little bit of a freak year for him just because I think he's just kind of figured out on the Pelicans, like, I don't know who else is going to be scoring, so I'm going to go ahead and get. But this is a good, this is actually good for him because he's proven now that he can do that. And he, you know, I think he could potentially be chasing. He could be chasing a big-time contract come down the road if he wants to move on to maybe a contender. But, you know, that being said, if Zion can mesh – if him and Zion can mesh next year and he can continue the scoring production, I like the Pelicans a lot in the West. Zion already came back and is averaging 23 points a game, 22 points per game. So I don't see Brandon Ingram maintaining those types of stats, and I couldn't put him in my A tier because I just don't think the projection's that high for him. I think this might be his cap right here. 24 points a game is good for him. I thought he wasn't ever going to get there with the way he was playing on the Lakers. So that being said, I have him in my B tier.
Yeah, just to add on to Brandon Ingram, let's go down Carson and Brandon Ingram's little hatred road together. Brandon Ingram started off at Duke with Grayson Allen, and UVA fans out there, you know Brandon Ingram was a part of the team when Grayson Allen clearly traveled, but unfortunately hit that buzzer beater in Cameron Indoor, beat UVA. Tore my heart, and, you know, that kind of started the hatred there. He goes to the Lakers getting compared to, oh, he's Kevin Durant. Oh, he's going to be this great scorer. He's not that in L.A. Now, to his credit, absolutely turned it around in New Orleans, but now we're getting to the Brandon Ingram being better than Jason Tatum talk, and, you know, that just really grinds my gears. I mean, how can you even put them in the same category when Jason Tatum is the 3 seed in the East? And, yeah, as I recall, I don't believe the Pelicans were in the playoffs, and, yeah, so I don't understand how you could put Brandon Ingram over Jason Tatum, and if you think Brandon Ingram is going to get any better as far as points per game goes, I just don't think that's true. They have Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson doesn't even score with the ball in his hands. Imagine next year when they incorporate Zion more with him being a ball handler and getting to the basket. I just don't see Brandon Ingram's, you know, points per game really going up. I could really see him plateauing at, like you said, 20 to 21 points per game. He's better than the guys I had in my C tier, but he's a definite B tier player. If anybody says that he's an A tier type of guy, I'm sorry. It's just not the truth.
Yeah, I don't.
Brandon Ingram is a solid B, a great B player.
Yeah, I don't know anybody that's making that argument that he's jumping up to A.
Well, dude, people are
especially
saying
with the guys that we have up in A.
Dude, people are saying, oh, who do you think's better? Ben Simmons, Brandon Ingram, Jason, like, dude, come on.
Jason Tatum, he's a good player. I mean, you're giving him a little bit of a tough time. I guess you have some personal vendetta against him.
It upsets me. It upsets me.
Moving on, my next guy in the B tier, I have Donovan Mitchell. 24 points per game, 4.4 rebounds, 4.2 assists. You know, I love Mitchell a lot. I love his game. Had him in fantasy past 2 years. Big-time scorer. He, you know, his efficiency is a little bit off. He does take a lot of shots on that Jazz team, but he is the guy on that Jazz team. I don't know the argument between keeping him or Gobert. Gobert's got to go. Gobert's got to go. I'm sorry. I don't know that argument, but apparently the Jazz are thinking otherwise. I think the reason maybe I didn't put him in my A tier was because of that. I don't think that situation is going to turn out to be pretty, and I don't think in any way it's going to help Donovan Mitchell unless he were to, like, move on to a contender. But then that being said, I don't know if he did move on to a contender, whether or not his efficiency would increase, his points per game would drop a little bit. So if he does get traded, that being said, I just don't know if he can move up to my A tier because I think 24 points per game, especially how young he is insane. He could end up being the guy on a team, which I do think he can. I think he can do that in Utah. And that's why I think they should keep him, is because he's already at 24 points per game. Like, I think he's going to be scoring 27, 28 come prime of his career. He's not even in the prime of his career yet. So that being said, I think he can be in the A tier maybe 2 or 3 years down the road. But next year, I think next year might be a little bit more turmoil for the Jazz with this whole situation happening. So I left him in my B tier.
Yeah, I had Donovan Mitchell in my A tier, but we'll talk about him later. I'm going to move on to somebody else in my B tier, Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton, 21 points per game, 6 boards, 4 assists. He was an all-star. And I really think the reason I put Chris Middleton in my B tier is because of how well he destroys the Celtics. Man, oh man, does that boy ball against the Boston Celtics. God, do you remember that like 35-footer he hit when Terry Rozier hit that go-ahead three, and Chris Middleton made that shot from like half court pretty much? Yeah, he's just a certified baller against the Celtics. He's a great number two for Giannis, especially, you know, with the speculations of Giannis perhaps leaving, going to, I pray not, but the Golden State Warriors. If Chris Middleton is that number one guy for the Bucks, I think he will absolutely thrive. Man is a scorer. He's actually, I think we talked about in our season awards, he's a great defender as well that combines with the Bucks defensive unit as a whole. I mean, he's a bucket, and I think he belongs with the guys that I have in my B tier. So, yeah, and if Giannis moves on, he's going to absolutely take a big step forward in being that guy for them. So I think it's only fair, especially with what he does against the Celtics, to put him in my B tier.
Yeah, I also had Middleton in my B tier. Great player. I am a little bit – I'm kind of curious to see if Giannis did leave, how much his production would increase. I think he actually hasn't hit the peak of his scoring powers yet. Like, I think he can be up to 25 points a game. He has the ability to knock down shots. And his defense, too, he's a great overall player. And I think Milwaukee would actually be okay if they were to kind of build a little bit around him, say Giannis did leave. But he's a great two guy for Giannis. And I don't see him jumping up to A unless somehow his scoring goes off and he really does increase his game a lot. I think he's kind of at a really good spot in his career right now. We might see it down the road increasing. But as of next year, I'm assuming Giannis stays, because I think the Bucks probably would have made the NBA Finals if I had to guess. So I think he would have been okay with trying to run it again with Milwaukee. So that being said, Middleton's in my B. Moving on to the next guy in my B tier, I have Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine, 25 points per game this year, 4.8 rebounds, and 4.2 assists. Insane year for LaVine, out of nowhere, too. I mean, going up to 25 points per game, we all know the Bulls are terrible. But that being said, that's, I mean, 25 points a game is 25 points per game. He's a great athlete, always known for his dunks. Obviously, the dunk competition between him and Aaron Gordon was kind of where people were like, oh, dang, like, this player's actually decent. Like, at least he's a good athlete. But he's shown this year that he can play basketball. 25 points per game, like I said before, no joke. I guess the question I have with him is, will he be able to maintain this production next year? Is it just kind of like a fluke year for him? You know, is he just kind of feeling himself? Does he want to move on from the Bulls potentially and maybe go to a bigger team and just trying to prove himself for a contract? I don't know. The Bulls don't really have, like we were talking before with the Kings, they just don't really have a great projection going forward, I don't think, unless they were to get another good draft pick or maybe a free agency acquisition. They have Dunn, LaVine, you know, so I like those two guys a lot. But that being said, I just don't think A is where Zach LaVine's going to be at. I think this might be a career year for him potentially. So unless he did move on, he's a good enough player that he could be a really good three guy on a contender, or maybe even a two on a good night. But yeah, no, Zach LaVine in my B spot.
Yeah, I had LaVine in my B spot as well, debating a little bit whether or not he should move up to that A tier, but just with how bad the Bulls have been, I'm sorry, and his numbers just aren't quite good enough for me to put him in that A tier with how bad his team has been. Yeah, it's crazy how we just knew Zach LaVine as, oh, he's this great athlete, the dunk contest, but he can do it all on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, he can shoot, he gets the basket, obviously can slam on people. Yeah, I think with the Bulls, him and Kobe White could be interesting as a backcourt pair. Still kind of unsure on that kind of direction, but I mean, that's all they have. I mean, Kobe White and Zach LaVine's their only promise. I could very easily see LaVine going to a contender and really being a big help to any team that wants him, that thinks they have a shot at a championship, but I don't see his offensive progression going down. I only see him, you know, being able to do this at a consistent level for years to come. So he falls in my B tier, probably higher in my B tier than some of these other guys.
The only reason I've moved him up to the A tier because he is responsible for the single best call this year in the NBA, is the Hornets versus the Bulls. The "No, you're king!" Call. That is such a good call. If you haven't seen that before, look up Zach LaVine versus the Hornets color commentator call. It is absolutely legendary. So my last guy in my B tier, I don't know about you, this is my last guy. I have CJ McCollum.
That is my last guy as well.
Okay. 22 points per game, 4.1 rebounds, 4.2 assists. Having a good year, not the Blazers, I don't know what has happened to them. Dame's having a sick year, but for some reason, I wonder if it's because they got Carmelo, because Carmelo tends to, destroy every team he's on. But they, for some reason, now aren't good, even though they literally made it to the Western Conference Finals last year. They weren't going to make the playoffs, it looked like, this year. They're going to lose out to a team led by a rookie in the Grizzlies, which is kind of embarrassing. I don't know what was happening with the Blazers. McCollum was not as efficient as usual. 22 points per game is good for him, but he's just missing a lot of shots. That team just didn't really seem to have a lot of cohesiveness. They seemed to kind of, really not really compete in a lot of games. They kind of got blown out a few times too. The addition of Carmelo was a good addition, I thought, but I guess it doesn't translate to wins, even though I think Carmelo's having a good year personally. I don't think he's a bad fit on them. I just don't really know where the dynamic's missing on that. So with that being said, I have him in my B tier. He has the ability, because of his playoff performances last year, if he got into the playoffs again and continued to do what he did, and maybe even, leaving Dame's shadow potentially at one point, moving on, because it seems like that Portland experiment is kind of not working now that they're not going to make the playoffs this year, which is odd. So that being said, he's in my B tier, but has the ability to go up to the A tier, because if he was by himself and he got the volume of shots needed, I think he could average maybe even 26, 27 points a game. He is that type of scorer, but he's in my B tier for now.
Yeah, I have him in my B tier as well. Like you said, he's been struggling as far as efficiency goes this year. But I don't know if it's so much him or just how good Damian Lillard has gotten and how much Damian Lillard has talked about. I mean, remember 2 years ago in that first series against the Warriors when at halftime CJ and Dame were responsible for 50 of the Trailblazers' 60 points. They were the ultimate dynamic duo, and now you can clearly see that Lillard's kind of rising to superstardom, and CJ, what we thought was going to be a superstar, has kind of not really made that jump everybody thought. He still has a great offensive game. His defense has never been really good. But, I don't know if his game is really, digressed a whole lot or if it's just Damian Lillard has just been the best point guard in the NBA this year. But nonetheless, CJ McCollum just isn't what my A-tier guys are. He's just not in that category. Good scorer, could definitely see him moving on, helping out another contender or another team, or getting big money and just being the guy and averaging a bunch of points. But as for right now, and as far as his forward with the Trailblazers, he falls in my B tier.
All right, moving on to our A tier. All right, we're one away from elite.
All right, my A tier, like I said before, we're going to talk about him now. Donovan Mitchell, 24 points per game, 4 rebounds, 4 assists. He was an all-star this year. The reason I have Donovan Mitchell in my A tier, I believe it was you that pulled up the stat that he's never averaged under 20 points per game in a season. That is crazy. And the fact that he filled the shoes of Gordon Hayward when Utah thought they were done because Gordon Hayward's going to the Celtics, and Donovan Mitchell just absolutely stepped up and could argue been even better than Gordon Hayward was. Donovan Mitchell's been in the playoffs consistently, and he's been the guy for the Jazz. And doing that at such a young age, I think he has to fall above the guys I had in my B tier and right at the bottom of my A tier. He's a great scorer. He gets to the basket. He can lead a team to the playoffs. And he really hasn't had that much help on offense except for him. I mean, Boyan this year, but Donovan Mitchell has been that guy for the Jazz because Rudy Gobert's not. I mean, he's always in the 12 points per game, but Donovan Mitchell, as far as offense goes, he's been the guy. And I think he's only going to get better. He's entering his prime. He's still so young. So I think Donovan Mitchell is going to get better and better, and he falls into my A tier for me. At the bottom.
I can't disagree. I mean, he was a borderline A tier for me. I just didn't. I'm kind of question marks surrounding next year, kind of his projection going forward. I'm a little bit worried about, but I agree. I think he can definitely be in that A tier at some point. Yeah. Starting off my A tier could be controversial. You might think this player is elite. I had him in my A tier based on a couple of factors. We have Paul George, 21 points per game this year, 5.7 rebounds, 3.9 assists in only 42 games. He missed roughly about 20 with a health issue. I just I'm worried about Paul George on the Clippers. I don't really know if he's going to fit in that well because they played so much of this year without him. Obviously, this year has kind of stopped, so I think it actually helped him because the Clippers hadn't really had a chance to, like, really gain a lot of chemistry without him. So that could end up being good for him in a sense. But at the same time, I'm a little bit worried. His injury still, you know, he's had a few gruesome injuries. Actually, he had that one really gruesome when he was playing
in the
Olympics.
That is the sickest thing. Yeah, that is the toughest. Personally, that's the worst injury I think I've seen,
bro. Kevin Ware. But
dude, his leg becomes like perpendicular to his thigh.
Bro, Kevin, you can see the
right
Kevin
angle
Ware,
on that
see the
boy.
Bone, bro. When you see the bone,
dude. Thankfully, the like the camera angle kind of shied away, dude. Yeah. But camera angle in that FIBA matchup with PG, that is sick.
Yeah, that being said, I'm a little bit, I mean, obviously he's gotten over that injury, I think, but I think I'm a little bit worried about his longevity going down the stretch, especially the Clippers next year really making a run at the playoffs with this year being potentially postponed. I think he's going to be asked to play more minutes, and I'm just not really sure if he's going to be up for it. So he's going to be in my A tier. He's kind of always been at the top of the A tier, I'd say. OKC, when he was in OKC, especially his last year, you could maybe say he was elite. He had a great year, and he's capable of that again, but I'm a little bit worried with him going forward, so he's the top of my A tier.
Yeah, I had him near the top of my A tier as well. You know, the shoulder surgery he had in the offseason, I don't know if he's fully over that, but this hiatus I think is going to be good for Paul George. I think he's going to have time to fully recover, but unfortunately, when he did play with the Clippers this year, he wasn't what everybody thought he was going to be. He kind of underperformed. I don't know if that's because of his role last year with the Thunder made him look so good, and now that he's, you know, with a couple guys that are big isolation scorers in Kawhi and Lou Williams, I don't know if he's just taking a back seat, but you can see just the shots he takes just aren't good shots. Like, he's shooting contested mid-range shots, and he's not getting to the basket like I think he, you know, would like to and like he did last year. I don't know what it is. I hope Doc and the gang can figure out, you know, make him good and like he was in OKC. But what I saw in LA just wasn't the Paul George that I think could beat the Lakers with Kawhi. I think Paul George needed to take his game to another level. And I think the only way the Clippers are going to make a run at a championship is if he does that. He's, of course, the X factor, like we've said in past videos for the Clippers. So he's going to stay in my, you know, close to top of the A tier for me. But, you know, I need to see some out of PG.
Yeah, I do. And I think you're going to figure it out next year whether or not
he's legit.
Yeah, whether he's legit, you know. So, yeah, and then moving on, next guy in my A tier, I have Bradley Beal. Having an outstanding year this year, 30 points per game, 4.2 rebounds, 6.1 assists. This dude is actually borderline elite for me. He is having an insane year with the Wizards. Obviously, it's not leading to wins, but the Wizards squad isn't exactly one of the best squads in the NBA. They kind of have a little bit of problem with depth as well as injuries. With that being said, you know, this is a guy that I'm hoping will move on from Washington. I'm kind of sick of the John Wall Beal thing. I mean, Wall has been out, obviously, but like them two together, I just don't think is it. I think at this point in their careers, it'd be best to separate. I'd like to see Beal move on to a contender. I kind of wanted to see him go to the Lakers this year. I mean, obviously, we're Celtics fans, so we don't want them to win, but I like good basketball. So I would have liked to see him move to a contender. I think he will eventually. 30 points per game. You don't get a lot of guys that are on the free agent market nowadays that are just consistently averaging 30 points per game. He is already a bona fide star in the NBA, and if he got on a championship team, I think he could increase to elite levels because I think he's selfless, and I also think that he takes smart shots. He's a complete offensive player, and a contender would be, you know, pleased to have a guy that can just go get his own bucket, does not need any help. He can literally just get the ball in his hands and just get his own bucket. He fit perfect on the Lakers for me. I'd love to see him move there. I'd love to see the Lakers try to make a move, clear up some space for him potentially. But yeah, that being said, I have Brad top of my A tier, potentially elite going down the road, 30 points per game. If he goes a little bit higher, you're getting up into James Harden numbers, you get into Michael Jordan, you know, I mean, that's Kobe, those are high numbers. So yeah, Bradley Beal, top of my A tier.
Yeah, the question was not whether or not he's an E or A tier player. The question was, how was Bradley Beal not an all-star this year?
Rex.
Like, are you kidding me? Bradley Beal, I mean, dang, compared to Giannis, he's like the best offensive player in the East. He can get his bucket any way he wants to on the offensive end. And he's dishing out six dimes a game. Like, this guy is elite. The fact he wasn't an all-star is ridiculous. The definition of snub in the dictionary should be Bradley Beal, not an all-star, 2019-2020 season. This guy can do it all on the offensive end. Like you said, if he moved to a team like the Lakers, I mean, it would just be like, talk about a three-headed monster. Like, it's just ridiculous how he wasn't an all-star. He definitely belongs in my A tier. I'm with you. He was creeping up to my E tier, but unfortunately, the Wizards just aren't good. But dang, this guy's underrated, man.
Yeah, so true, so true. Yeah, that was one of the biggest snubs I've ever seen. I'm really looking forward to him potentially moving on and doing good things for another squad. Next person on my A tier, I have Jason Tatum.
Woohoo!
23.6 points per game, 7.1 rebounds, 20.9 assists. I mean, sorry, 2.9 assists. Dude is just a bona fide bucket. I mean, he's literally one of the best young players in the league. I love Tatum. If you're a Celtics fan, I'm sure you do too. And I think he's starting to get a lot of respect around the league too. I guess really the next question for Tatum for me is, yes, he's in the A tier, and people like to hate on Jason Tatum, but I don't know after what he's done so far this year, you can really hate on him but so much. I mean, he's proven that he is a buck. Because the question is, can you now make the jump to 25 points per game, you know, even getting into 26 or 27, and just lead the Celtics outright, no question. This year we've kind of thought going into the season that Kemba was going to be the guy. As the season progressed on, Jason proved to be a star in the making. So I'm kind of thinking, you know, will he be able to lead the Celtics and just be an outright leader and, you know, be a franchise guy down the road? I think he can be. His offensive game is one of the best in the East, in my opinion. I have Jason in my A and a lot of potential to get into E, I think. I think out of all the guys on the A tier, probably has the most potential because he's so young to get into that E tier. Not a lot of guys are his age scoring at such a high volume. Literally him and Spidat are two of the top scorers for their age. With that being said, Jason in my A tier.
Yeah, I have Jason in my A tier as well. I think it's pretty clear why he is in the A tier. I mean, from being a rookie, pretty much led the Celtics to an Eastern Conference bid, almost a finals bid, but couldn't quite get the job done. Kind of took a step back in the second year, but I mean, this year he's absolutely exploded. This is the Jason Tatum Celtics fans have been waiting for, what we all saw on draft night. Now, draft night, interesting for me and Jackson, as we were watching that draft and we were waiting for the Celtics to pick at three. The person in the house that we all wanted was a young boy named Josh Jackson. And if you're not an elite basketball fan, you probably don't know who that is. And right at the last second, you know, Jackson came up and he was like Jason Tatum out of Duke. And, you know, he played UVA. So, I mean, I knew who he was, but, you know, I saw what Josh Jackson did with Kansas. I mean, as far as offense and defensive goes, Josh Jackson's the guy. But Josh Jackson didn't work out for the Celtics. He literally didn't go to the Celtics workout.
Bust.
He absolutely fumbled the bag in that aspect. The Celtics capitalized. Jason Tatum, all he did was just go to their workout. What he did in college, the Celtics picked him. I was so happy, and now he's turned into the superstar. You just love to see that if you're a fan of your franchise, seeing somebody you drafted become this borderline superstar. I mean, he's still so young. There's just so much more room and more ways that he can improve. But, yeah, he falls in my A tier. Jason Tatum, I love you.
Yeah, it's nice to see if you're literally a sports fan at all, just your picks working out for once. I feel like my picks, I feel like especially when my team has a big-time pick, it just never ends up working out. And this is one I can for sure say is going to be a pick that Celtics will be happy with for years to come. You can go ahead with your...
Okay, I'm going to kind of get a little bit debatable with my next person. I have Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant tore his Achilles last year in the finals, if any of y'all didn't see. Kevin Durant, nonetheless, 26 points per game in the season that he did tear his Achilles, 6.4 rebounds and 6 assists. I don't think it's just the injury aspect. I think it is the Kyrie Irving aspect. I don't know how they're going to work out. A lot of people are sold on this. Oh, Kyrie's a bucket getter. KD's a bucket getter. Why wouldn't they work out? Kyrie, you wanted to be the guy. You came to Boston. We set you up with quite possibly the best young core you could ask for, as well as depth on the bench and arguably the best coach in the NBA. And what did you do? You got hurt. The Celtics did better without you. Got to the Eastern Conference Finals. You come back next year. Everybody's, the Celtics, they're going to make it. They're the favorites in the East. You come out first game, you sweep the Pacers. I mean, that doesn't really. But first game against the Bucks, beat them by 20 in their house. Oh, the Celtics, baby. Oh, yeah, we're 5-0. You know what he did in the rest of that playoff series? Dudded. Absolutely dudded. It was the worst sign of number one guymanship, I guess you could say, leadership I've ever seen. He was so sold on, oh, I'm at that point where I can be the guy on the championship team. Left LeBron James. Takes a lot of gall to leave LeBron James, right? Unless you're certain in yourself that you can be that guy. He wasn't for the Celtics. So, no, I'm not going to try to improve on my mistakes and try to make them better the next year. I'm going to go leave and go to the Nets. I'm going to go to the Nets. And then not only am I going to go to the Nets, I'm going to get their coach fired. Kenny Atkinson left the Nets because of, I mean, it might not have been because of Kyrie Irving, but he definitely had a part in it. And KD isn't necessarily the most mature and, you know, great superstar. He has immaturities. He has the Twitter burner account BS. He left the Warriors because he got in a fight with Draymond Green. He's not necessarily the hardest guy. He's pretty soft. And so when you combine two guys like that on the same team, they did play together with the USA team and their FIBA run that they had together. They had success, but I don't know, man. I mean, he's in my A tier right now. He is an elite scorer. I can't question that. Arguably the best scorer of my lifetime, but with Kyrie and KD together, seeing that Kyrie's already stirred the pot a little bit in Brooklyn, I don't know. He's at the top of my A tier for now, but I'm very interested to see how that situation works out.
I completely disagree. He is an elite. He is in the elite tier. I just sounds like you hate Kyrie, which I can understand, but you just had an all-time rant on Kyrie right there. But making up your own words as such as a guidemanship, that was interesting. Instead of leadership.
I couldn't think of it.
It's all right, bro. The rants, bro. I'm here for it. I'm here
dude,
for it.
Dude, it's ridiculous. Like,
no, okay.
I'm sorry,
look,
dude.
I mean, KD is in the elite tier for me. He's a top five player in the NBA, and I don't really think there's many questions about it. Yes, he's been hurt, so I can understand maybe you put him in the A tier because of his injuries this year. Looking forward to next year, I think the Nets are going to be good. I don't know how that team isn't good, quite frankly. Yeah, you can hate Kyrie, you can hate KD. They're not going to pull, like, I mean, they're not going to have like a Portland year this year where they have like two stars and they're just bad. They are going to be good. They're going to be a top five, maybe even top three team in the East. I don't know if they're going to be in the one or two spot yet to be seen. They will be, as long as both of them can stay healthy, presuming they both stay healthy, I don't see that being a fail. I think that they'll be a good threat. KD, whether you like him or hate him, has gained a lot of experience from being on the Warriors. He's played in big games. He's going to now be the man again. I mean, I like him better than Kyrie personally. I think he'll be the number one guy. With that being said, he's going to be back to kind of his OKC days with Russ. And, you know, maybe this is a better version of that team. Maybe KD is ready to kind of do it on his own now because he did need some guidance. I admit it was one of the softest moves of all time, going to the Warriors. I think all of us can kind of agree with that. But I think he's now ready to assume the spotlight again, be the number one guy, not kind of just go to a team that's already stacked. Obviously, they had Kyrie, and they have a good core, but I think this is more so him kind of doing it on his own now, trying to prove that he isn't just a follower, that he can be a leader. So I had Kevin Durant in my elite tier. Don't really know how you had him in your A. I guess you just don't like him that much. I don't like him either, but his game speaks volumes. So
Dude, with the injury situation combined going into a situation where he's not met with guys like Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. He's met with a guy like Kyrie Irving. And I don't know. I just think there's a big difference there. He, like I said, he's a great scorer. I'm never going to not say that, never not going to believe that. But I don't know. We'll just have to see. I'm very interested. They're going into an Eastern Conference that, you know, is no easy shout. I mean, they have competitive teams. Kyrie's already, you know, got their coach fired, surprisingly, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry, but I think they're going to be better than the Heat and the Pacers. So if you're looking at this, so if you're looking at the standings right now, we're looking at Bucks 1, Raptors 2, Celtics 3, Heat 4, Pacers 5. And even the Sixers at 6, who I could honestly say are better than the Heat and Pacers. So I think they're definitely going to be a top 4 team. I think the Heat and the Pacers probably take a back seat, maybe the Sixers too. But they're already a 7 seed with not having pretty much either of them. Kyrie's played a little bit.
Kyrie made them worse, though.
Yeah, I mean,
they have a worse record with Kyrie Irving.
I mean,
we'll see. No, fair.
I'm thinking you're hating on Kyrie a little bit too hard.
Well, I don't like him, but no, it's fair.
We know. We know you don't like him.
All right. Next in my A tier, I'm sorry for that, Devin Booker. Devin Booker, 26 points per game, 4 rebounds, 6 assists. He was an all-star this year. Clearly the leader of the Suns. I want him to go somewhere else where he can be the guy. I want to see him play in the playoffs. I want him to be on a contender, and I want him to be the guy. He's clearly an elite scorer. He made the All-Star team this year. There's no reason why he belongs in the B tier. He's not quite at that E tier yet, obviously, but Devin Booker, elite scorer, belongs in my A tier for me.
Yeah, I had him in the A tier as well. It's just his scoring efficiency. I mean, dude is one of the best scorers in the league, and he's really underrated because he plays on such a bad team, and his organization has kind of failed him. They tried to get Ayton in, which was a good draft pick, no denying, but, I mean, they wasted kind of a couple years of his career there just kind of like just dicking around, not doing anything. So I want him to also move on. I'd like to see him be on a team where he can really show that he can do good things in the playoffs and be a clutch player, because I think his shooting is good enough that he really can be. So yeah, I also have Devin Booker in my A tier. Rounding out my A tier, we already talked about Klay Thompson. He was also in my A tier, but we had discussed that earlier. I have Jimmy Butler in my A tier.
My last one.
That's your last one as well. 20 points per game, 6.6 rebounds, 6 assists. Has had a really good year with Miami this year. Really has silenced a lot of haters after that whole Minnesota turmoil. Has been able to move on and be really the guy in Miami. They bought into his intensity. They bought into his leadership. And he has a lot of young guys around him. But they're playing for that team. And that squad was going to have a good – I thought they were going to do well in the playoffs, personally. I thought they had a chance to even potentially be the 3 seed, maybe jump the Celtics. That was going to be pretty close down the stretch, I think. I like Jimmy a lot, and I think that he's finally found a home in Miami that accepts him and is okay with him being the number one guy and having young players come up from, you know, like Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Kendrick Nunn. They have a lot of young guys that are going to be, I think they're going to be really good players in this league. Bam, maybe even a star. So with that being said, I have Jimmy in my A. I think he's really proved to be an all-around good leader this year, which is a really important quality that some of these people don't have. So Jimmy in the A tier for me. I know people like to hate on Jimmy a lot, but there's no denying his impact in Miami this year, and I think that they were going to have a really good postseason. So.
Yeah, just a quick little take on Jimmy Butler. His leadership, I think, really outshines anything else he's done this year. Being able to will, I wasn't sold on this team going into the season. I didn't even think they were going to be a playoff team because of, you know, what the talent that they had. But, you know, he's really, like you said, they bought in. Jimmy's really just done a great job in that aspect. Two things that kind of concern me are his three-point shooting hasn't been good this year, and their ability to win road playoff games. They've been mediocre, maybe even worse on the road, and they're great at home, but taking that squad to other arenas and winning games is going to be a struggle. But yeah, Jimmy Butler belongs to my A-tier.
Yeah, I think, you know, the statistical thing can kind of be explained a little bit with him just – I almost think he's just taken a backseat on stats and he wants to win. And he's bought into this team and he is going to let the young guys shine. Bam Adebayo is having a career year and it's only like his, what, second or third year?
Yeah.
I mean, he is going to be a star. Yeah. He is going to be he's going to be a top 10 big man pretty soon, maybe even top 5 down the road. So I think he's letting young guys progress, which I always – you know, I wanted Kyrie to do in Boston. He wouldn't do it. You know, a lot of guys don't want to do that. And it's understandable because if you're in the prime of your career, you don't want to take a backseat to young guys. You want to do your own thing. You want to get your stats. You want to boost your Hall of Fame chances. But Jimmy has taken, I think, you know, a less statistical importance and more so turned it into, like you were saying, leadership. And I think that that's a really important quality that the NBA kind of lacks in certain times. And I think he's been able to guide this Miami team to a good season thus far. Yeah, that's our A tier. Last tier, moving on to the elite tier. I'm sure if you're following along, you probably have a good idea of who we're going to put in here. I have 5 people in my elite tier.
I have 4.
So the only person you don't have is Kevin Durant. We already talked about him.
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I'll just start from the top. I have LeBron as number 1 in my elite tier. Yep. He is we did not put Giannis in this ranking, by the way. I want that to also be acknowledged. Giannis was not included because he gave him a power forward designation. I just don't really think he's a small forward, quite frankly.
Yes, we based our position rankings to the NBA fantasy basketball app.
Yeah, so don't give us hate. He's just going to be in a different ranking. But, yeah, so LeBron at number 1 for me, no doubt about it, having a great year this year. We talked about him in our podcast before we were doing playoff predictions. I guess really the question with LeBron is, when is he going to slow down, if ever? He is just a tank. He has pretty much this year decided that he is going to lessen the scoring load and just become literally like an all-time passer, which is such a like sick stat. People do not give LeBron enough credit for his ability to pass. He is one of the best passers ever. And I feel like, you know, Jordan, when you're talking about LeBron, Jordan debates, I think LeBron does have a lot of, like, a lot more qualities than Jordan does as far as his, like, overall game that just over, like, exceed Jordan. I don't know, as a player overall, his mentality is quite like Jordan's, but, you know, averaging 10 assists, almost 11 assists this year as the best player in the league, like, you just don't see that out of a guy that's that size. He's allowed AD to become comfortable in LA and really just get into his game and not really have to worry about any struggles. He's been okay with just passing. I mean, obviously, he's still averaging 25 points a game, but he's been okay with taking a little bit of a backseat in the scoring load and letting his players around him produce, because I think he realizes that at the end of the day, he's going to need his core in the playoffs. He's done it so many times without a good team. He has been to the playoffs so many times with teams that suck. They don't have a good core. And I mean, I'm not trying to hate on LeBron at all, but maybe some of the reason of that is because LeBron really didn't let his team mesh as well because he was so good. Like, he was so good and, you know, he kind of just, he dominated all aspects of the game. Now, I think he's realizing in order to win an NBA championship, it's not just about LeBron and AD. It's about their role players, and he's letting those guys develop a lot. And I like that team a lot. So, you know, it would have been interesting to see the Clippers and the Lakers this year. Of course, I'm kind of sad about that aspect of it, but LeBron at the top of my elite tier, not really much debate if we don't have, I mean, I don't think you can debate that Giannis is a better player than him really right now, but that being said, he's top of my elite tier.
No, you're 100% right on that. I have LeBron at my elite tier at the top. It's going to be really interesting with this LeBron-Jordan debate with the Last Dance documentary coming out, because Jordan's going to be the hot topic in the NBA. So, I mean, we're going to see how much of a dog Michael Jordan was in that documentary, no doubt about it. So it's just going to be a lot of debates going on Twitter and whatnot. It's just going to be really, I think, personally fun to see what people are going to say with this documentary coming out. It's going to be ridiculous because, I mean, Michael Jordan never really speaks out on a lot of things, much less having a 10-part documentary. He was always kind of, you know, surprisingly an independent type of guy, but he's going to share on his career and whatnot. We're going to see how good he was. And God, those debates are going to, they're going to flood Twitter. And I'm excited for it.
The debates are going to start up again with that documentary, no doubt about it.
And then Cope, I mean, dude, it's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait for it. Can I go ahead with a guy I have on my E tier? Some people might see this as a surprise. I don't. Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic, 29 points per game, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. All-star starter, second year in the league, arguably a top three MVP candidate, willing the Mavericks with Kristaps, you know, on and off the court due to injury. But this guy, I mean, he can do it all on the offensive end. He can dime. He rebounds. He can get to the bucket. He has the step-back three-pointer, one of the best offensive weapons in the NBA right now. I mean, this guy can really do it all on the offensive end. And not only can he do it on the offensive end, but the offense that he produces leads to wins, as the Mavericks are a playoff team right now. I'm so excited to see what him and Kristaps Porzingis do in the future. Luka's just, he's just a young star, man. And, you know, you can't really help but put him in this E tier. He just does it all. And he deserves to be in the elite tier with the guys that I have in my E tier, at least.
Yeah, no, I have in my elite tier as well. No denying that. I guess really, like you said, stats are out there. Man is a buck, no doubt. I guess the question I have, though, is, you know, can he eventually lead the Mavericks to be contenders in the West? Yeah, they're in the playoffs right now, but it's looking unlikely that they were probably going to advance, because at this point, they were, what, running into the Clippers in the first round?
Yeah.
That would have been a very tough first-round matchup. I'm kind of concerned whether or not the Kristaps-Doncic combo is one that will be able to run the West at some point. I think maybe down the road, yes, but the problem is that the West have obviously, you know, got two super teams in both Los Angeles squads. So I would like an addition to that team as a third guy that can really step up and score for them. I think Luka needs a little bit of help. That Mavericks team in general, they lack depth a little bit. I like them, and then I don't. The verdict's still out. I like Luka and Kristaps together. I do. Kristaps has been showing in the second half of the season. We had touched on him in an earlier podcast how well he's been playing. But yeah, I guess that's just a question for me, is whether or not the Mavericks are ever really going to amount to a serious title contender. But I guess that's yet to be seen. Luka's still so young, and I mean, he's not showing any signs of slowing down. So
good.
Yeah, so moving on in my elite tier. So I had James Harden at my second spot in my elite tier. 34 points per game, 6.4 rebounds, 7.4 assists. I mean, dude is just having such a sick year.
The dribbler. Dribble, 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 dribble.
He's so nice. And I mean, he's really just only improved his offensive game as his career has gone on. He's become one of the best isolation players to ever play the game.
Oh, yeah.
He's created his own moves. He has defied the laws of the NBA and made rules that do not exist, which is actually pretty sick. Like, no, I don't know anyone that's ever done that besides, like, Wilt dunking, like, yeah, being, like, literally, Green like, that. Like, he has made his own move, and people just don't call it. Like, they just don't call it a travel. But, like, literally 5 years ago, that would have been a travel every time. It just blows my mind. But, yeah, I guess another – I mean, there's no denying Harden's greatness. He's one of the best individual players in the league. Verdict's still out on whether or not the Westbrook experiment will end up working for them. You know, I like Westbrook a lot, and I thought, you know, I like them together. I do, and I think that they can win some games together. They're sitting at the sixth seed right now, tied up with the Thunder. Kind of a tough draw. I actually like, if we had done our playoff predictions, I'd like them to beat the Nuggets in the playoffs, personally. But with that being said, I kind of thought they'd have a little bit better season than they did. Getting rid of Capella was kind of a head-scratcher for me. They tried to play the small ball. I don't think that's sustainable, especially against the Lakers. Like, who's going to guard Anthony? Like, dude, that's going to not work. They need a center. Capella was actually a good matchup against Davis. I liked it. Like, his length. I thought they'd had a better shot, personally. I guess we may never find out, but, you know, with that being said, Harden is one of the best players in the league. I just don't really know down the stretch if the Rockets experiment will work with Westbrook. I just don't know if that is going to mesh and turn into even a Western Conference Finals appearance personally. But yeah, I had James Harden in my elite tier.
Yeah, you said it all as far as stats go. Just a couple knocks on Harden is, of course, the playoff performances. You know, he just doesn't get the calls that he does in the regular season. So him being able to perform efficiently in the playoffs, of course, is always a question. And then, you know, it's kind of seemed as James Harden's game has gone up, Russell Westbrook's game has gone down, and vice versa. I don't know if their combination and their 1-2 punch has been a failure, but it doesn't seem that they can both play at elite levels together. It seems like either one takes the torch or the other takes it. But yeah, James Harden belongs in the E tier. Just him, you know, when he was at 38 points per game, I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. I mean, his scoring ability, the step back three, I mean, God. I mean, it's just ridiculous how well he's able to score the basketball. But yeah, just him and Westbrook, you know, complementing each other and being elite at the same time is a big question for me. Also, you know, him in the playoffs hasn't been bad, but hasn't been too good. But yeah. So yeah, we'll see.
I mean, I will always kind of root for him in the playoffs. I want great players to have good reputations in the playoffs. Like, I think that would just suck to be such a good player and have a bad reputation. So of course, I mean, I root for him. I mean, I just don't really know down the road if he's ever really gonna get into an opportunity where he, you know, gets back to the finals, really, you know, ever since he was at OKC. I mean, I don't know if he's going to get back personally, but
it's tough.
Yeah, it is. So rounding out my elite tier. So we had, I had Kevin Durant, I had LeBron James, James Harden, Luka Doncic. And then finally, my last player is Kawhi Leonard.
The Claw, baby. Yes, sir.
26.9 points per game, 7.3 rebounds, 5 assists. You know, he has done it all. Last year was, truly one of the, I think, one of the best playoff performances of all time. Just him being able to lead the Raptors like that was insane. I did not think that they were going to do what they did in the playoffs, especially beating the Warriors. It's just insane. But yeah, I guess one question I do have, we all know the accolades about Kawhi. I'm just a little bit worried about that Clippers team in respect to Paul George. I just don't know if those two are the right mix together. It's really, the sample size is very small. I understand that. I guess I've just seen the Lakers mesh so well, and I'm a little bit concerned whether or not, you know, I think AD and LeBron are such a good fit together, and I'm, you know, PG and Kawhi are going to need to be able to square up toe-to-toe with them and then let their role players shine, because I think the Clippers have a better team, and I think that they just need to be able to, you know, cancel out AD and LeBron and be able to let their role players shine. But with that being said, Kawhi, no doubt one of the best players in the league, the best defender in the league. He has such a good reputation for being an overall beast. So, but that being said, he is in my elite tier. You got anything to add on Kawhi? I know he's in your elite tier as well.
Yeah, he's obviously in my elite tier. All-star starter and all-star MVP. Never really thought a guy like that would win the all-star MVP. Usually those go to the more flashy players. But Kawhi, like, hit like 6 or 7 threes in a row or something ridiculous. He was just balling that game. And I love what they've done with the all-star game, but that will be for another podcast. But yeah, Kawhi Leonard can do it all on the offensive end. I mean, his post-up game, the turnaround fade is money. He's just become a great three-point shooter. I just hope DeAndre Hunter, especially because Kawhi started off slow, you know, with San Antonio, had a lot of guys that were ball dominant guys, and he didn't really get the touches he was known for his defense. I hope DeAndre Hunter can, you know, evolve his game to that. Maybe not all the way to Kawhi, but somewhere around there. But yeah.
Yeah, that's always the comparison I always try to make with people is DeAndre.
Sorry,
Kawhi.
He's an NBA guy. Just yeah. got to talk
I mean,
about
dude,
him.
He does have similarities if you watch yeah. his game, but I don't know if he'll ever reach that level.
No, but Kawhi Leonard, great player, finals MVP on a Raptors team I never thought was going to make a run, beat Giannis, slayed the Greek freak in six games. Yeah, so Kawhi Leonard was finals MVP last year. He absolutely deserves to be in the E tier.
I agree, mm-hmm. and I think that rounds out our list.
That rounds it out, baby.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. We will be coming out with an NFL draft special soon, obviously before the draft. And also, we were thinking about doing an ACC football preview. You know, DM us and let us know what you guys want to hear. Again, we love to get recommendations because, you know, sometimes we just aren't thinking of things like you guys are. So we really want to know what you guys want to hear. With that being said...
Thank you to Lawrence Smith for making our new Cox podcast profile picture. I think it will be set up as soon as this gets on to Apple Podcasts. So shout out to you, Lawrence. Thank you so much. It looks great. Super excited. I feel official now.
Yeah, I do too. I feel a lot more official. And I actually feel like we have a podcast that's actually like, you know, worth something now. Yeah, not just a picture of me and your graduation. But yeah, now Lawrence, I'm going to give you a shout out on Twitter as well. He's a great guy for doing that. But yeah, with that being said, I think that's the end of the podcast.
I am Carson.
I'm Jackson, and we appreciate you guys listening. Y'all take care.
See you.